This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. 100 years ago today, Alton Miller was born in Clarinda, Iowa. Better known by his middle name, Glenn, Miller turned out one hit record after another with his orchestra between 1938 and 1944. In the Mood, Moonlight Serenade, and others stirred dancers, inspired wartime America, and became classics. From New York, Tom Vitale has this tribute.
Glenn Miller stood apart in the swing era because of his pop sensibility. The musicians in the big bands were by and large jazzmen who liked to solo. But Glenn Miller, more than Benny Goodman, Artie Shaw, Duke Ellington, Tommy Dorsey, or Count Basie, understood that the audience for big band music was interested in dancing, not listening. Barry Feldman has produced 3 reissue anthologies of Glenn Miller's RCA Victor recordings.
With Miller, it was the performance was more important than whether or not a guy took a great 8 bars. That was not important to him. So what you did have was great arrangers doing these incredibly tight charts, drilling these guys like a football coach, and having these perfect little records made.
Like the pop stars who came decades later, the trombonist and band leader understood that the people who bought his records memorized them and wanted to hear the same thing when the band played live. Guy Ludwig is a producer and historian at the NBC network, where Miller often performed.
If they hear it on a jukebox, if they hear it on the radio, if they pay for a performance, they want to hear what they liked on the record. So he replicated that. And even when he made movies, he insisted that the performances be the same as they appeared on the records. And this caused Miller's popularity to zoom.
There was a tremendous room full of people every time we start blowing, and he knew it all. They all screamed and gathered up to the bandstand, and it was always a big crowd.
Paul Tanner joined Miller's trombone section in 1938. Speaking from his home in San Diego, Tanner says when the orchestra started playing, with the clarinets carrying the melody on top of the horns and saxes, those screaming fans knew instantly who was on the bandstand.
Oh, it was a wonderful sound. Not only the lead clarinet over the saxes, which was kind of Glenn's signature sound, but the sound of the whole band. Of course, you had to hear it in person to really get the effect, but the beautiful thing about the band that the imitators can't seem to get a hold of is the band had such a great balance and great blend.
They achieved that blend, says Tanner, by playing together sometimes 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, at theaters, dance halls, and on radio broadcasts.
There was at one time that we did 140 playing sessions in 2 weeks. We were playing the Hotel Pennsylvania a couple of sessions a night, and they booked us in the Paramount Theater at the same time. We were doing 7 shows a day, and we were doing 6 radio shows a week for Chesterfield.
The Cigarette That Satisfies presents America's number one dance band with America's number one swing trio. Glenn Miller and the Andrews Sisters, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, 3 times every week. And now, here's Glenn Miller.
Good evening, everyone. This is Request Night, and we hope you enjoy the tunes you've asked for. I'm sure you will, if you light up at Chesterfield. First, the Andrews Sisters go hunting with sound effects for the Little Red Fox.
The Andrews Sisters shared the stage with Glenn Miller in 1939 and 1940.
Yen, 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 says the little fox. Yen, yen, you can't catch me. Yen, 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 says the little fox, singing merrily.
Patty Andrews is the last surviving member of that singing trio. Speaking from her home in Los Angeles, she says Glenn Miller knew how to please his fans and his sponsors.
I'll tell you a funny story about Glenn Miller. When he worked for Chesterfield, he made sure that all his musicians smoked a cigarette. When they got on that bandstand, they better have a Chesterfield package in their pocket.
When it came to his band, Miller was all business, handling even the smallest details himself, from what the musicians smoked to what they wore to reworking arrangements and repositioning microphones. Some musicians didn't like him, but Paul Tanner did.
He had a good sense of humor. He was a very fine musician. He was a good businessman. He was athletically oriented, and he was a super patriot.
Training Command pays tribute to its comrades in arms. Here's a 21-gun musical salute to all the other commands of the Army Air Forces.
At the height of his popularity in October 1942, Glenn Miller gave up his band's $20,000 a week income to enlist in the Army, where he convinced his commanders he was in a unique position to recruit volunteers for the war effort. In 1943 and 44, Glenn Miller's Army Air Force Band broadcast a live radio program called I Sustain the Wings, from the cavernous Studio 8H in Rockefeller Center, better known today as the home of Saturday Night Live. Miller enlisted the help of some other regulars from that studio, more than 20 string players, many of whom had been in Toscanini's NBC Symphony Orchestra before the war. Historian Guy Ludwig says the Army Air Force Band brought a new sound to swing.
The kind of things that we associate with the mood music of the 50s, the Jackie Gleason records of the late 40s, Miller essentially pioneered that with the Army Air Force Band, because you had this enormous string section providing color and shading, but playing swing.
Last in our medley, Something Blue, the band plays My Blue Heaven.
On December 15, 1944, Glenn Miller boarded a transport plane from London to Paris to make tour arrangements for his band. He was never seen again. He was 40 years old. Record producer Barry Feldman says after Miller's plane mysteriously went down over the English Channel, the band leader became an icon.
To the point when I started in the record business in the 70s, selling records at a record store, people just would just flock to the Glenn Miller bins. You know, I would say, oh, there's Benny Goodman and there's Artie Shaw. And people just wanted Glenn Miller. And the cult of personality to Glenn Miller was extraordinary. I mean, the fan clubs around the country, around the world, it's unbelievable. I mean, there's just nothing like it.
According to SoundScan, in the last decade, the Glenn Miller Orchestra sold more records than any other big band. Today, there are 5 Glenn Miller orchestras touring the world, playing the band's original arrangements. All that has given Patty Andrews, now 86 years old, hope for a swing revival.
Do I miss it? Of course I do. My husband is saying, I can't wait till it comes back. I mean, what do you think that I'm hanging around for?
She'll get a little more encouragement next month when a centennial tribute that includes a CD of Glenn Miller's music and a DVD of his film performances is released. For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.